Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015, episode 11.09, the Week 3 Preview Show. Last weekend was upset weekend as 9 underdogs won their games outright and blew up the NFL Rants and Raves Survivor Pool. The pool started with 149 entries, and after just 2 weeks, we're down to 13 people. How crazy is that? And actually, less than that, because there's one person with multiple picks still available. How did you do that, dude? Oh, caramba. 13 picks left out of 149 after 2 weeks. I was able to win the challenge game last week, making me...
I am the smartest man alive!
Although it was a miserable week where I only finished with 6 correct picks. 6-10, probably the worst I've ever done in my life. But the fan challenger, Mick Collington, did worse, going 5-11. I'll talk about some of those games briefly. And this week's challenger might do a little bit better for the fans. It was last year's NFL Rants and Raves Pick'em champion, David Bryson from Down Under, Australia. He will join me a little later on in the show. I'll also talk about the 9-2-0 teams and the 9-0-2 teams, and which 0-2 teams have a shot to get out of the cellar, and which 2-0 teams might likely fall and not be there at the end. Lots to talk about. I'll also let you know about some NFL news. And Cam, why did he come back? Let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Welcome back, people, wherever you are in this great world of ours, and however you are listening to the show, either via podcast or streaming or downloading, however you're doing it, thank you for continuing to doing it and joining me to doing it. That's right, continuing to do it and joining me to talk some football. Oh, what a week it was last week. Crazy, crazy stuff. Some teams won that had no business winning. Denver Broncos. Some teams got hit with the injury bug again. Oh, just unbelievable, unreal stuff. 9 underdogs. That means that Las Vegas didn't even know what was going on last week. 9 underdogs went into week 2, and they came out actually winning their games outright, just outright winners. That is pretty incredible. Oh, man, 6-10 I went last week. Not a good week 2. Usually week 2 is upset weekend. I just didn't think there were going to be that many, quite frankly. Not very good, but Mick Collington went 5-11, so I got a game on the fans, and I won the challenge game, making me...
I am the smartest man alive!
I was going to make Pittsburgh and San Francisco the challenge game. I decided not to, even though that would have been an easy-peasy win, as Pittsburgh killed San Francisco 43-18. We differed on that game. We also differed on the Giants and the Falcons. I had the Falcons. Mick had the Giants. Atlanta came back to win 24-20. The Giants, for the second consecutive week, have given up double-digit point lead in the fourth quarter. Not a good sign for the Gigantes of Nueva York. Other games, the Denver Broncos on Thursday Night Football found a way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City in Arrowhead. The Broncos not looking good at all in the first half of that football game. Turned out later that, you know, Peyton Manning was running Kubiak's offense to start the game. It just wasn't working. Then later in the game when they needed to catch up, he started running his own offense because Kubiak said, okay, run your stuff. And then he started to look like the Peyton Manning of old. Led a couple drives, score a couple touchdowns, tied the game 24-24. And then Andy Reid, oh, leave it to Andy Reid, 30 seconds left at the end of the game where it's tied. You're deep in your own end zone.
there really is only two things to do. You throw it deep to see if you can get to about the 40, 45-yard line. You have a guy get out of bounds, and then you try and get into field goal range, or you take a knee and you play for overtime. Probably with how he doesn't really trust his wide receivers yet right now and Alex Smith, you probably just take a knee and you play for overtime. Your defense was getting to Peyton Manning. And hopefully, hey, you know, who knows, maybe you get the ball first, you go, you score a touchdown, and Peyton Manning doesn't even get the field, get to get on the field again. But instead, you run the football. Jamaal Charles gets stripped. It gets scooped up by Denver, and they score a touchdown and win 31-24. That was, like, it seems like an eternity ago, Thursday night football, really just last week, Denver beating Kansas City, and Peyton Manning was actually quite happy that there was no overtime. He was like, I really didn't want overtime, so I thank my defense. And that Broncos defense, man, it's legit. It's legit, pretty good. Other games to talk about, the New Orleans Saints just continue to look bad. The demise of Drew Brees is real, people. Whether he has a torn rotator cuff or not, whether he denies it, he says that he's going to be ready to play this week. 26-19, they lose in New Orleans in the Dome to rookie quarterback Jameis Winston and a very young Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. That is not good at all. I'm not sure what's happening with the Saints, but when you lose like that to a division opponent, they're just not looking really good right now. The Chicago Bears get blown out in Chicago, 48-23 by the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are looking like a real big football team there, team to be reckoned with. Carson Palmer is looking fantastic. Larry Fitzgerald is returned. No more free Larry posters because Fitzgerald's actually relevant again. 3 touchdown catches in 2 weeks. That's pretty impressive. The Patriots beat the Bills 40-32. So much for Rex Ryan. We're building a bully in Buffalo. Yeah, man, your bully let Tom Brady throw for 446 passing yards. Not very good. You need to tweak your bully status there, Buffalo. The Cleveland Browns get a win. Johnny Manziel, a couple deep touchdown passes to Travis Benjamin, 28-14 over the Tennessee Titans. The Redskins top the Rams 24-10. They find a running game. Alfred Morris and rookie Matt Jones team up to go for over 198 yards. That's pretty impressive. And then the underdogs hit. 7-point dog Jacksonville beats the Miami Dolphins 23-20. 7-point underdog Oakland Raiders beat the Baltimore Ravens 37-33. 7-point underdog Dallas Cowboys beat the Philadelphia Eagles 20-10. And then 7-point underdog New York Football Jets on Monday Night Football embarrass Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts 20-7, straight on beatdown. Jets defense all over Luck. Revis Island is back, and it is real, people. Real. 20-7 win, leaving the Jets at 2-0 and the Indianapolis Colts at 0-2. Other games there, the Green Bay Packers finally defeat their nemesis, the Seattle Seahawks, by 10 points, 27-17. And the Carolina Panthers defeat the Texans 24-17. That was your week 2. 9 underdogs. The Broncos were dogs and they won. The Bucks were dogs and they won. The Browns were dogs and they won. Falcons were dogs and they won. Redskins, Jags, Raiders, Cowboys, and Jets, all underdogs, and they won outright. Vegas is reassessing their point spreads as we speak, but I'm sure that there were some places in Las Vegas that just killed it, and they took in a whole heck of a lot of money. All right, that's enough of that. Recapping week 2, let's take a look. There are 9 teams that are 2-0 and 9 teams that are 0-2. Which ones will continue to rise and which ones will fall? All right, here are the 9 2-0 teams. The New England Patriots, the Jets, Bengals, Broncos, Cowboys, Packers, Falcons, Panthers, and Arizona Cardinals. They're 2-0. Now, of all those teams, with the exception of the New York Jets, who I still don't know, I'm just kind of easing on the brakes. Let me see how they play another couple weeks before I decide whether the Jets are going to fall out of the top there and probably maybe not make the playoffs. The other team, the Carolina Panthers, they're right now. I always have a team that starts off pretty hot, and I say that they're my smoke and mirrors team. They do it with smoke and mirrors like magicians. El Mágico! And that's the Carolina Panthers for me right now. They're winning football games, but I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. They're asking Cam Newton to do too much. I think he's second behind Jonathan Stewart in rushing. I think Jonathan Stewart has rushed for 119 yards in two games, and Cam's rushed for 111 in those same two games. Not a recipe for success asking Cam Newton to do that much, and I think it'll fall apart there later on. But the Atlanta Falcons, I think, will continue to do very well. So is the Green Bay Packers. The Dallas Cowboys, I know a lot of people saying, yo, Steven, man, they lost their quarterback who's the starter. They lost their wide receiver as the starter. Yeah, but you know what? Their defense is legit, and it's getting better. And in a couple weeks, they get Rolando McClain and Greg Hardy back. So it's even going to get better than it is right now. They've stopped some, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. in week one didn't do much. And last week, the Philadelphia Eagles, this juggernaut offense, they held them to 7 yards rushing. 7 yards rushing, that's what the Dallas Cowboys are doing right now on defense. Marinelli's got that team humming defensively, and I think they'll do enough to stay just because of the look of the schedule. They've got two teams that I don't think are winnable without their stars, and it was going to be difficult to win with their stars there, and that's against the Patriots and against the Seattle Seahawks. But all the other games are winnable. New Orleans is a dumpster fire right now. They already beat the Giants and the Eagles. They get to play them again. I think they can take care of business there. They got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a really, really young football team. I think they can take care of business there. So the only other game is, you know, the Atlanta Falcons and the Washington Redskins. And I think those are winnable games. I think those are winnable games. We'll find out here in a few weeks, but I think those are winnable games. I think that when Romo comes back, the Cowboys could be 6-3, maybe even 7-2 when he returns from injury. Now let's look at the 9-0-2 teams. You've got the Ravens, the Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, the Giants, Eagles, Lions, Bears, New Orleans Saints, and the Seattle Seahawks. If you look at those teams closely, you really have to question if Houston, Baltimore, if the Giants, the Lions, the Bears, and the Saints really have much to play for this season. It's looking bleak already, folks. I mean, it really does. New Orleans is a shell of what they once were. Chicago now with this injury to Cutler, he'll be out for a few weeks. By the time he gets back, they could be staring at 0-4, 0-5, and the season's pretty much done at that point. The Lions don't look very good on offense or defense. Matt Stafford is getting pummeled. Pummeled, people. That's what he's getting right now, and he's not looking very good. Then you have the Giants, who just keep giving up lead after lead. The Philadelphia Eagles, I don't know if they're going to get on track. I said earlier in the year, I did not think that DeMarco Murray was running back to suit Chip Kelly's offense. He's not a side-to-side kind of a guy. He's a go straight-up field. And unless Kelly wants to change his offense and let him start doing that, I don't think they're going to find much success there running the football. And I didn't think that Sam Bradford was the guy to run Chip Kelly's offense. Chip Kelly's offense is humming. It's fast-paced. And I think they've already, last year, they were averaging 71 plays per game. They're in the first two games, they're doing 60 plays per game. That's already, you know, they're not that fast team that they once were. And so I don't know if Chip Kelly, it's all on him right now. He brought in these guys. He made the changes. He let go of Foles. He let go of McCoy. He let go of Macklin. And now he's got to do what he's got. He put together this team. And I'm not sure they're going to get it done. And on defense, they lose Kiko Alonso. I know that right now they're just saying it's a partial tear. But it's his MCL, people. Whether it's a partial tear or a full tear, he's getting a second opinion. He is definitely out this week for this game. That's going to be a big blow if they lose Alonso for the whole year. Whedon came in, and you know, I'm not trying to pump up Whedon and the Cowboys, but Whedon came in with 7 for 7 for 93 yards and a touchdown. When the game counted, when it was on the line, and they needed to stop the Dallas Cowboys without Dez Bryant and without Tony Romo, they could not do that. So it's not looking good for Philadelphia. The two teams that you look at, it's the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, they're 0-2. They started 0-2 last year, although I don't think this is the team that was last year when they were 0-2. They just are – they got to feel like they're not as good as they were last year, but – because of the division they're in, they got the Jags twice, they got the Titans twice, they got the Texans twice. These are teams that they've dominated. I think they'll come back, at least win their division and get into the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks, yeah, they're 0-2, but they feel like they're a much better 0-2 team than they are. Now they get Cam Chancellor back. And why'd they get Cam Chancellor back? He's like, it was a business decision. It was time to put business aside and come back to my team. And, you know, I watched those two games, and I was just like, it hurt me to watch my team go out there and lose. You know what it hurt? Your pocketbook, man. This was all about money. You didn't get paid for the first two games, and you were like, I got to get paid, man. I need my money. I need to get back on the football field. And that's why Cam Chancellor came back. Look, I know you got to get paid. That's a lot of money that you're losing when you do not play week to week. But you've basically now just lost all credibility. If you had held out for training camp and held out for the preseason and then came out and came back at the start of week one and said, okay, you know, I tried to get my money. It didn't work. I'm here to work. Week one, let's go. You miss week one. You miss week two. Your team loses. And now you come back for week three and you say, well, it's time to put business aside. Yeah, really, I can't believe that. I can believe that it's all about the money. You missed your two game checks for weeks one and two. Now you want to start getting paid again. In the future, if you ever try to hold out for anybody, everybody's going to be like, just be patient. He'll come back. And that's what you did. That's what you did. If you hold out another week and the Seahawks go down 0-3 possibly, they're going to be looking to bring you back, man. They're going to be looking to bring you back and pay you what you need to get paid. But by coming back of your own free will, unless they're talking to you, you know, in back channels, I don't see how this was a good move for Cam Chancellor at all. But he's back because, you know what? I got to get paid. I got to get mine. And that's why Cam Chancellor is back. But that's good news for the Seattle Seahawks and Seahawks fans. Finally, as I said, injury bugs continue to hit the Dallas Cowboys hard. Tony Romo out 8 weeks. He was placed on short-term IR. Scheduled to be back in 8 weeks. Whedon is the starter. The Cowboys traded with the Buffalo Bills to bring in Matt Cassel to be the backup. Now, I heard a lot of beef about, well, I don't know if, you know, they're bringing in Matt Cassel because they don't trust Whedon. No, that's not it at all. Whedon is the starter. They brought in Matt Cassel because they have nobody behind Whedon. No one. They have Showers, Jameel Showers, who is in the practice squad. He's a pretty cool kid. But he's not ready to be a backup. And they brought in Matt Moore, I believe. They brought Moore up to be the backup for now until Matt Cassel learns the system. And then Matt Cassel became the backup. But they brought in Matt Cassel because Matt Moore's not the guy and neither is Showers. So they needed somebody else. It's not like they're like, we don't trust Whedon, so we're going to bring Cassel and maybe he can be the starter in a few weeks. That is not the case. I even got into it with Ed Werder of ESPN. He said that, you know, this shows what the Cowboys think of Whedon as a starter. I'm like, dude, this has nothing to do with Whedon as a starter. It has more to do with they have nobody behind him. So they need a quarterback. Oh, gosh. And then he started saying, well, Whedon has lost 8 straight and he's 5-21. And I'm like, he's 5-21 with a Cleveland Browns team that was horrible, had no weapons on offense, and was horrible on defense. He's got a pretty great defense right now, and he's got some weapons to play with, even with Dez being out. Yeah, and then I had some fans come in, jump in my defense, and then Ed Werder stopped responding. So there you go. Little tiff battle with Ed Werder on Twitter. But there you go. Bad news for the Philadelphia Eagles. Understand that DeMarco Murray left today's practice with a hamstring injury. Not sure how severe that injury is, but if he has to miss time, well, you know what? He's only rushed for, 12 yards all year, so maybe they won't miss him all that much. But he did contribute. You know, to be fair, he contributed in the passing game. He has about 130 or so yards receiving and a touchdown receiving. So there you go. You know what? Let's just get to week three. I had a horrible week last week. I want to lift a bad taste in my mouth. Want to get it out of here. Got from down under Australia, Adelaide, Australia, David Bryson is coming in. Now, I recorded this earlier, folks. I apologize for the audio. Please listen to it because David is very insightful in his picks. But I recorded it in a different manner, and the audio is a little choppy. So I apologize for that in advance, but please give it a listen. We differ on a few games, and he gets to pick the challenge game because I won last week. So here we go. All right, joining me all the way from Australia, I don't think I've ever done this, spoken with someone who's in a completely different day than I am. I am here Wednesday, so, and David Bryson in Australia, it's Thursday for you. How you doing, David?
I'm doing really good, Stephen. Thank you very much for having me.
Is it weird for you? Because I'm in Wednesday. I'm in yesterday for you.
Being a huge fan of all kind of sports, but particularly the NFL, I'm kind of used to the time difference. So I think it's about 6:30 your time, Pacific time, and about nearly 11 o'clock on Thursday, my time.
In the afternoon. So it's coming up to afternoon. It's coming up on lunchtime there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lunchtime. I'm thinking about lunch right now. All right, well, it's almost my dinner time. I think that's why I'm hungry. So let's get to it. You last year beat me by one game in the NFL Rants and Raves Pick'em Challenge. You finished with, 172, and I finished with 171, something like that?
It wasn't much between us. I was pretty stoked, the little boy from Oz, to beat the big dog.
Yeah, one game victory by Oz Gunner. If you guys are playing the NFL Rants and Raves Pick'em page, he is the player out there as Oz Gunner. So go and gun for him because he is last year's champion.
Not doing so well this year, Steven. So they might well look down the list a little bit this year. Last week was a bit of a disaster.
Last week was a bit of a disaster for everyone. Everyone had a disaster.
Six out of 16 is just unprecedented for me. So if I was feeling any worse, I might have fallen on my sword last week and given up my tipping. So, but I'm back to give it another crack.
He's going to give it another crack. Well, I don't know if I should be nervous about this. We only differ on three games this week. So hopefully you get those three wrong and I'll at least do three games better than you this week. How about that?
Well, we'll see what happens after the wash. So.
All right, well, let's start Thursday night football. The New York football Giants sitting at 0-2, fresh off giving up double-digit leads in the fourth quarter, host a division opponent in the Washington Redskins. Who do you got? What do you see there?
Stephen, the NFC East race, could it be more wide open at the moment? So this one I have the Giants, but not with any conviction. So I know that...
Hold on there. It's not that wide open. There's a team sitting at the top at 2-0. There's a team sitting in second place at 1-1. And then there's two teams at the bottom at 0-2. Oh, and by the way, that team that's sitting up there at 2-0 basically has a three-game lead right now on those two 0-2 teams because it beat both of them. So that's a pretty nice lead this early in the season.
We'll check back because I think we'll talk about the Dallas game coming up, but I think they may have been cursed by a gypsy.
Cursed by a gypsy. Well, we will get to the Cowboys in a minute. Right now it's Giants, Washington. You got the Giants, you say, not with a lot of conviction. I got the Giants with a lot of conviction. I'll tell you why. The Washington Redskins, yes, they're coming off a pretty big win over the St. Louis Rams. It was nice and all, and the Washington Redskins are running the football very, very well. But they've now all of a sudden talking like they're the cream of the crop in this division. I think they're a little full of themselves. I'm not sure they're that good. And the Giants are not going to allow another fourth quarter meltdown, especially at home. It's a short week. They're the home team. My advantage goes to the New York Giants. I think that Eli is definitely not going to have another meltdown 3 weeks in a row. 2 weeks ago, it was that stupid throw the ball out of the end zone to stop the clock for the Cowboys. Last week, it was a delay of game penalty, a delay of game penalty late in the game that kind of gave Atlanta the ball. And I'm not sure that that's going to continue for the Giants. Plus, I don't think the Washington Redskins have anyone who can hold Odell Beckham Jr., who I just found out the fastest to get to 100 receptions in his career. So congratulations to him on that. But I think it'll just be too much for the Redskins. And I think the Giants will be able to contain that ground game just a little bit there for Washington.
Well, I kind of figure I'm a bit like Greg the Bills fan, that I guess if it's almost a coin flip game, that I always got to go with the home team. That I think depends on what type of game it is. That I think if Washington played their game and run it, I think Matt Jones and Alfred Morris combined for about 182 yards and two touchdowns last week. So if they can dominate the clock and run it, then who knows what could happen. But I'm with you. I think Odell Beckham, I don't know that they have anyone defense, the Redskins, that can match him. So, but look, it wouldn't surprise me if it went either way. I reckon if the Giants go down, we could have a coach on the hot seat there.
Oh, trust me, Coughlin's already on the hot seat. He may not know it yet, but he's already on the hot seat.
Two Super Bowl wins, though, does buy you a little bit of credibility, but starting to run a bit thin, I think.
Just a little bit there for Coughlin. All right, so we both have the New York Giants. We'll move ahead to Sunday, the early game. A fresh one right off the bat. Another NFC East team, the Dallas Cowboys, hosting the Atlanta Falcons. Both teams are 2-0. Both teams coming off of wins that they probably shouldn't have won. Atlanta played both the Eagles and the Giants pretty close, but they came away with victories. Same goes for the Cowboys, although I think Dallas defense showed up pretty big last week, and I think that they showed the true face of the Philadelphia Eagles on the offensive side of the ball, holding to DeMarco Murray to just 2 yards and the team to just 7 yards total. That was pretty impressive. The Atlanta Falcons are also with injury. Yes, Dallas Cowboys lost Tony Romo. He's been put on IR. He's going to be out for the next 8 weeks. Dez Bryant, of course, is out as well. But the Atlanta Falcons lost Tevin Coleman, their running back. He is not going to be available in this football game. So it's going to be up to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Roddy White. And the Dallas Cowboys on defense have been pretty good against the pass. So what do you think?
Well, listeners, I'm sure it won't surprise you that Stephen's going with Dallas. And
how do you know I'm going with Dallas? Wait a minute. Hold on.
You drink from the Cowboys Kool-Aid, I think, Mr. Miranda. So
here's what I believe.
Okay.
As far as the Cowboys are concerned, I believe that, one, Whedon now being under this system, being under the same offensive coordinator for a couple of years in a row now. Remember when Cleveland, it's like every year they were changing coordinators on him. And every year they didn't really provide him with much of any kind of weapons. Now it's the second year with the team. He's behind arguably one of the best offensive lines in the league. He's got guys that he can give the ball, turn around, and hand the ball off to. They're doing pretty well. I think the Cowboys are averaging just under 100 yards rushing per game. It's not great, but it's not, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are only averaging like 34 yards per game. So you got to like his chances there with a pretty good run game. And you got to admit, you got Jason Witten, who's, trust me, is going to be out there playing in this football game. Terrence Williams is looking pretty good. You still got Cole Beasley. And Lance Dunbar has been the secret weapon that the Cowboys have kind of unleashed out of the backfield, because he's posing some nightmare matchups for the linebackers. I think he gets them in space. Dunbar has a pretty good game. And the defense will once again rise up for the Dallas Cowboys and take care of business. That's why I'm taking Dallas. I don't think it's a homer pick. I just think that this first game, everybody's going to be amped, and we're going to circle the wagons, and we're going to play behind Whedon. And Atlanta has kind of faltered over the last two games. They looked sharp for that first half against the Eagles. Since then, they've struggled. So I like my chances with the Cowboys.
Okay, well, we haven't locked in a challenge game yet, but this could be it.
Don't tell me this could be it. You know this. You know you're going to make this challenge. Wait a minute. I got to go back and look at my notes. Do I get one veto? I don't know. Remember I used to get a veto when Jeff was around? I used to get one veto. Do I get one veto?
Oh, it's your podcast, so I reckon you can kind of pull out whatever you want with this one. So, Stephen, look, I'll give you my perspective on this one. If it was Dallas with their full team and Atlanta with their full team in Jerry's world, then I would be absolutely all over the Cowboys. But like I said to you earlier, I don't know what black cat they crossed or what gypsy they ticked off. But to lose your top two offensive weapons in back-to-back games, that's just not good. So I think, Jerry Jones has been talking this week. I've been reading online lots of stuff about, he's talking up Brandon Weeden. But I guess Brandon Weeden behind center, I know I'm probably looking at when he was at Cleveland, but it doesn't fill me with confidence. And I don't think it fills the Cowboys with confidence either, because I guess if it did, I'm not sure that they would have traded for Matt Cassel this
week. I'm going to stop you right there. They don't have anybody behind Weeden, so they needed another quarterback. Everybody's weeding into, they don't trust Weeden, that's why they went to go get Cassel. No, they went to go get Cassel because if something happens to Weeden, they've got nobody. That's the reason why they went after Cassel.
I would have a better option. You didn't get a phone call this week, Stephen, because I thought that you were probably more of a viable option than Matt Cassel.
No. I haven't been in the league for a while, so they didn't even look at
well,
me.
Matt Cassel probably doesn't deserve to be in the league the way he's been playing, certainly not at the Bills. So I figured you were a more credible option than Matt. But I agree with you. The Cowboys defensive line and Sean Lee, he's just been awesome those first couple of weeks. I think last week he had 14 tackles and 2 for loss. So he's showing them what they missed last year. But I just don't think it comes down to Julio Jones is a beast. And I don't think that they've, like you said in the last game with Odell Beckham, I'm not sure that they can stop Julio Jones. I think he
Beckham. Odell Beckham did nothing against the Cowboys. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. But I'll be interested to see. I think if the Cowboys are for real, I mean, if they can keep winning with all of their top offensive guys off, then I'd tip the hat to them. But
yeah, I just think
Atlanta's got more weapons on offense.
All right. There we go. So that will be possibly a challenge game. Moving on.
Possibly. Let's see who vetoes it.
Moving on to Tennessee, as the Tennessee Titans, coming off that horrendous loss to the Cleveland Browns, host the Indianapolis Colts, who themselves are coming up at a horrendous loss against the New York Jets. The Colts are staring 0-3 in the face. Do you think that happens? You hear me there, Dave?
Yeah, sorry, I was just breaking up a little bit at my end, so sorry about that. But
the Colts are staring going through the face. Do you think that happens this week?
Look, I think I've got Indy in this one, but again, not with a lot of confidence. I think Indy, like you and Jeff used to say, is becoming a bit of a dumpster fire at the moment. I think Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano are just not on the same page, and I think we saw last year probably with San Francisco what happens when the GM and the coach aren't on the same page. So. But then look, the Colts were 0-2 last year, so maybe we need to pump the brakes on them being a disaster. But seriously, last week they were terrible. They had 5 turnovers. There was some terrible blocking. The receivers just couldn't get any separation. So I got the feeling last week, how if you watch a movie and you've got a superstar cast and on paper it should be amazing, and then it's just terrible. And that's kind of like where the Colts are at the moment. The Andrew Luck... he doesn't seem to be able to pull it together with all of the stuff that's going on around him.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they don't really have a semblance of a running game, even with Frank Gore there. Gore looked good for a little bit, showed a little bit of flashes, but it's just not consistent enough. So they're putting everything on the shoulders of Andrew Luck. And with not very good blocking, he's getting killed. I like Indianapolis in this game solely for the fact that they are the AFC South killers, okay? I don't think anybody in the AFC South has beaten the Colts in like 100 years. That's an exaggeration, but they just dominate this division. They know the teams in their division very well, and they beat up on them, and they beat up on them. And I think just like Mariota got beat up last week against Cleveland, I think the Colts will get after him. They'll make him look like the rookie quarterback that he is, and the Colts will get off the schneid. I'm not sure that they're going to go as far as they did last year. You know, they were 0-2 last year, but those 0-2 games, they were in those games. They looked pretty good. These last two games, they've just been awful. The Colts have just been flat-out awful, and they don't look like the same team as last year. But I think they'll have enough muster to win their division simply because they dominate the teams in their division, and this is where it starts. They'll take care of Tennessee without a problem. So we both have the Colts there. We'll move to the Browns as they host the Oakland Raiders. Both teams coming off big wins. Cleveland taking care of Tennessee. Oakland knocking off the Baltimore Ravens, putting up a bunch of points on them. Nobody saw that coming. 37 on the Ravens. When's the last time that's happened? What do you see there, David?
Well, this one, again, I kind of went with the home team with this one. I think this could be the first Browns-Raiders game that could be interesting since, I don't know, forever. You've got the Factory of Sadness and you've got the Raiders, both teams who have struggled in the last couple of years. So the Raiders, yes, they got their win last week and Derek Carr, their quarterback, showing improvement. And they've definitely got at least some weapons on offense now. I really like the look of Amari Cooper, the former Alabama wideout. I think he's going to be a star. But I think this one, the reason I went with the Brownies, because I think the defense is going to be the difference in this one. So I think, you know, they could shut down Cooper and give Carr, you know, a bit of a hard time. And I think at home they could get this one.
All right, so you've got the Cleveland Browns. I've got Oakland. I'll tell you why. In my predictions, in preseason predictions, when I went through all 256 games, this was one of the games I had Oakland winning. All right, this is before I saw them, you know, play a really good football game last week against a team I thought was pretty good, the Baltimore Ravens. I like Oakland going in there and stealing the victory from Cleveland because although Cleveland did beat the Tennessee Titans last week, they just don't instill a lot of confidence just because they don't have really a whole bunch of weapons. I can guarantee you Travis Benjamin will not score three touchdowns against Oakland because that's all really that the Cleveland Browns seem to have. They keep relying on Travis Benjamin to break open a big play. Not sure he can do that against the Raiders. Plus, the Raiders have some...
Johnny Football looked a little better last week, though.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Johnny Football's not starting. They're going to go back to McCown. That's a move I don't understand. This kid just got you a win, threw a couple touchdown passes for you, looked decent enough, but you're going back to your original starter. That certainly doesn't show any confidence in Johnny Football, but I'm not sure I'm that confident in McCown. So
has he passed his concussion protocol? Because, obviously, other side of the world, I haven't got the news that McCown was starting.
That was said earlier today. It was probably said at a time when you were sleeping. Let's put it that way.
Probably.
McCown is going to start for the Cleveland Browns in this one over Johnny Manziel. So.
Well, possibly by halftime, we could be looking at Johnny anyway, because I think the Browns are approaching their quarterback the same way as the Houston Texans, and that's a bit like a lazy Susan, rotational sort of policy that they've got.
Yeah, both of those teams don't seem to have any cojones to just say, this is our guy, and they're going to stick with him regardless of what happens. But we'll see. You've got Cleveland, I've got Oakland. That's another game where you could possibly make the challenge game. We'll move on to Baltimore with the Baltimore Ravens staring 0-3 in the face, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, the team atop their division. Who do you got there?
I've got Cincinnati because I've got a lot of respect for the Ravens, but I think this year could be the year they kind of fall back to earth. I think the loss of Terrell Suggs has been a huge loss for them, and they haven't looked good in the first couple of weeks. And by contrast, I think the Bengals, Andy Dalton, I think, is a bit of a barometer for that team, and I think so far he cops a lot of stick. I'm not sure that all of it's kind of warranted, but he's been near perfect so far. And Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill, they're just You know, I think last week they racked up about 162 combined yards, and them running the ball takes the pressure off Andy Dalton. So I think even though they're on the road and it's tough to go into Baltimore and win, I think I've got the Bengals to make it 3-0.
Yeah, I think the Ravens, it was pretty tough of the schedule makers to put them out west, back-to-back games, start in Denver week one, then have to play the Raiders week two. The problem is that defense just doesn't scare anybody anymore. Terrell Suggs out. I think last week was the first time in I can't even tell you how many years there was either no Suggs, no Ray Lewis, or no Ed Reed on the field for Baltimore. Those were the true leaders of that defense. So that defense right now, when you let a young guy, I mean, Derek Carr is only in the second year in the league, and he tossed the football around like he was Joe Montana against this Ravens team. Andy Dalton, I'm going to go on a little limb here and say that Andy Dalton is just a little bit better than Derek Carr. And I'm afraid what he's going to do to the Baltimore Ravens, especially since he's got weapons like A.J. Green to throw the football to. So I'll take Cincinnati as well. We both agree on that one. Oh, here comes – now, I have to preface this real quickly, okay? I said in the last podcast, if I got 25 emails of people telling me to call the New England Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, I would do so. I fell very short. I think I only got like a dozen emails, maybe not even that.
One of them was from me, so.
Yeah, I got like 10 emails. And they were all, I think, Patriots fans. With the exception of you, I don't think you're a Patriots fan.
But, yeah, actually, I'm an NFL fan first and foremost, but I am a Patriots
fan. Well, there you go. I got like 10 Patriots fans who emailed me and said, yes, you should call them that because they deserve it because that's what they are. I got more emails, not quite 25, but about 22 or 23 emails from people saying, no, just call them the Evil Empire because that's what you've always done on your show. So, to make everybody happy, I'm going to say this. It is the defending Super Bowl champion, Evil Empire, New England Patriots, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. How's that? Does that work? I mean, I get it. I get they still get the defending Super Bowl champion, Evil Empire, New England Patriots. How about that?
Oh, look, you know, go bow to the whims of everybody else. If that's what the fans want, Stephen, you've got to give that to them.
I got to give it to the fans. So I think for the rest of the remainder of the season, until we get into the playoffs, they will be the defending Super Bowl champion, Evil Empire, New England Patriots. That way everybody gets what they want and everyone's happy. They're hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags surprised a lot of people last week, got a victory over the Miami Dolphins, but they're going into the home of the Evil Empire. I don't know. This is like sending young Anakin Skywalker when he was like in episode one, right? When you're sending him when he was a kid into the heart of the Emperor. That's when the Emperor started manipulating him and stuff. I don't think this
is
gonna...
firing lightning bolts everywhere.
Yeah, this is not going to be good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But what do you think, David?
I put my Patriots fandom to one side, and I would still say that it's got to be the Pats. That I think as much as the Jags are showing improvement this year, and that upset win over the Dolphins was good last year, I think New England this year, with all of the debacle that we shall not mention, they're carrying a bit of a chip on their shoulder about the size of Massachusetts, I think. So, and look, Tom Brady's in great form, 466 yards and 3 touchdowns last week on a Bills defense that everyone rates.
Yeah.
I think they've just got offensive weapons. And Stephen, what do you think of Deion Lewis? I think he's been a huge surprise packet for me so far this year. I think he's an upgrade.
He's been a huge surprise for everybody. I think even Bill Belichick gave him some praise today. Once again, probably while you were sleeping, Bill Belichick was interviewed, and he gave Lewis a lot of praise. So that's odd because Belichick doesn't praise anybody. So when he starts praising his running back over the first 2 weeks of the season, you know that he's doing something right. I don't know. The line in this game is New England by 14. I probably won't wager on this football game, but no, I think they cover it. I think they can win by a couple touchdowns. because Jacksonville, as much as they surprised folks last week, now they got to go on the road into a very, very hostile territory. And as you say, the Patriots are all gunning and running and playing hard. So we both got New England. I don't think that's – you know what? That's going to be – here's what's going to happen. As crazy as this season is progressing, half the people in the survivor pool are going to take the Patriots, and Jacksonville's going to find a way to win and knock them all out. So, but we both have New England in that one.
Well, tell me who's going to stop Gronk. We've been talking about offensive weapons that's hard to stop. Gronk
nobody.
At the moment.
I'm
nobody
so glad
gonna stop
I've
Gronk.
Got him in my fantasy football teams all over the place, man. Just keep throwing him the ball.
That's why you're the man when it comes to fantasy football, so they tell me.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I learned a long time ago you just can't have any allegiances to teams regarding fantasy football. You just have to take the best guys, no matter who they play for. So. That's
so if you have to dip into the evil empire, then you could do it.
Then you got to do it. Then you got to do it. So there you go. We both have the defending Super Bowl champion, evil empire New England Patriots, winning that game. We'll move on to Carolina as the Panthers and new gymnast Cam Newton hosting the New
Orleans. He didn't stick the landing.
No, it's funny, but you know what? The only reason he didn't stick the landing is he got hit midair when he was in the middle of a flip. I was talking to a gymnast today, and I was like, you try sticking the landing when a 350-pound defensive end smacks you in the ribs. Go for it. She actually smiled. She was like,
I read an interview this week, and they asked Cam, they said something about you. What did you think? And he said, he was halfway midair, and he went, oh, I'm not so sure about this. And when you're the franchise there, I'm not sure, as amazing and as dramatic as that is, that I reckon the fans and the coach would have had their heart in their shoes last week.
Yeah, everybody, he even said, my heart was in my socks. I think was Cam's quote, and I believe him, because when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, this is not going to – he landed on his feet. That's amazing. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But Cam Newton, here come the New Orleans Saints. They're 0-2. They're struggling. Everybody's saying, what's going on with the Saints? They lose at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a rookie quarterback. How is that possible? Drew Brees, we don't know if he has a rotator cuff tear or a strain or a pull or what it is. All I know is that Drew Brees does not look like himself. The Saints offense is a shell of what it used to be. And, you know, you've got Jimmy Graham up in Seattle saying, hey, nobody will throw me the football. But this team is a mess right now. Who do you see, Carolina and New Orleans?
Well, based on lots of what you just said, I think I have to go with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
That's right.
The Carolina Panthers, because I think at the moment, potentially the Saints could be the dumpster fire of this year, that I think if Drew Brees is out, they could be the worst team in the NFL. Yeah, so I think Drew Brees hasn't looked himself for a while anyway. But clearly that shoulder problem is really troubling him. And forget about their offense. You know, their offensive line's got more holes than a piece of Swiss cheese, I think. But their defense is just non-existent. So I can't see them, even though the Panthers.
Swiss cheese. I'm sorry.
But even though I'll leave out the food references then. Yeah. But even though Kelvin Benjamin's out, and I think they've got a pretty thin receiver core, I think Cam Newton will get it done over the Saints.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to take Carolina in this game as well, just because I don't trust the Saints at all. I don't think the Saints have much of anything. But of all the 2-0 teams that are out there, and as I said earlier in the show when I talked about the 2-0 teams, the one I'm not buying is the Carolina Panthers. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors. Cam's putting that offense on his shoulder, and he's kind of he's throwing it to a bunch of guys that, Jericho Cotchery, Corey Brown, Ted Ginn Jr. all of a sudden is revitalized. I don't think they can sustain it. They're going to need more production from the running game, from Jonathan Stewart. Look, Jonathan Stewart has 118 yards rushing. Cam Newton has 111. They're not going to survive this season asking Cam Newton to run the football 24 times in two games. just not
going to happen. Cam Newton's not going to survive the season if he keeps going the way that he does. He's going to meet a Mack truck in the form of a linebacker or a cornerback that's going to take him out, I think. So he's got to be careful.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. So I think they're my smoke and mirror team. They're kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors. Yeah, they're 2-0, and they look pretty good. I'm just not buying it. But I'll buy them in this game because one team that I'm completely off the bandwagon is the New Orleans Saints. They just look abysmal on both sides of the football. So we both got Carolina. We'll move on to New York, where the New York Jets, the 2-0, the brand sparkling, shiny New York Jets, host the 0-2 Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not even going to say anything about this game.
Because
if I do, people will be like, "Ah, that's Stephen hating on the Philadelphia Eagles." No. Oh, and I don't know if you heard this, by the way, because you were probably sleeping when it happened. DeMarco Murray left practice today with an injured hamstring.
Well, he hasn't looked great in the first couple of weeks.
He's looked
pretty slow and looked a possible bust. So I'm not sure if that helps them or hurts them.
Well, I think it hurts them a little bit because he was pretty effective in the passing game in both the first two games. He didn't rush for a lot of yards in either game, but he did have like over 50, 60 yards receiving in both of those games, and he had a receiving touchdown. So not that bad, but if he has to miss time, it's just going to be worse because now you're going to have to rely on Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles to be the guys when you're relying on them to be the third down guys for you. So it'll change the dynamic. I don't buy the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't buy that Chip Kelly got the right guys. He may think that he got the right guys for his offense, but based on what I know from the guys he got and his offense, I said at the beginning of the season, DeMarco Murray is not a running back to fit Chip Kelly's offense. Sam Bradford is not the quarterback to run Chip Kelly's offense. And I think you're kind of seeing that a little bit right now. He looked great in the preseason. But you know what? In the preseason, the defenses give you vanilla, man. And now they're giving you chunky, rocky road with cherries and strawberries in it. And it's a lot different than the vanilla you were getting in the preseason. And Bradford is struggling. So plus the Eagles defense, now you got Kiko Alonso. He's been ruled out for this football game. He might even miss
a big loss.
Might even miss the entire season now. That defense is giving the points. Look, they let Brandon Weeden, who everybody is saying he's not the greatest guy in the world, and I'll agree with that, but he's pretty good, and he went 7-for-7 for 93 yards and a touchdown against them in a game where they absolutely had to stop him, and they could not. Now, here comes the Jets. The Jets' defense is fierce, and I actually am afraid for Sam Bradford. I'm afraid for his knees. I'm afraid for his legs, for his arms, for his head. The Jets come after the quarterback. Just look at what they did to Andrew Luck last week. That's what they're going to do to Sam Bradford. I'm not even sure Bradford finishes the game. I got the Jets.
Stephen, it's only 2 weeks in, so we probably need to pump the brakes. But Todd Bowles, how good is he looking for a possible coach of the year?
you know what? You're right. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Jets. But that defense, because the offense, I think the offense is what eventually is what's going to catch up to the Jets. I don't think they've got that stellar of an offense. But that defense, I mean, when you've got the Jets defense looking better than where Rex Ryan left them, because Rex Ryan had some pretty good defenses there with the Jets. But these guys look even better. His blitz screen schemes are just crisp. And these guys have bought all into Todd Bowles. You may be right. At the end of the season, we may be looking at him as coach of the year. But the Jets look pretty tough defensively, and that's why I've got him in this game.
And look, even Ryan Fitzmagic has got some new weapons to throw to.
Fitzmagic? Did you call him Fitzmagic?
Well, you know, he seems to be, he keeps coming back. He's like that tenant that you can't evict. He just keeps coming back. But
can't evict that tenant. Yeah, you're right. But the other thing, too, is that he has got a great rapport and connection with both Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, and he's getting them the football. He misses on a lot of throws. He did miss on a lot of throws against the Colts, but he also hit them on a lot, and I think that's going to bode well for the Jets.
For the Jets fans, I picked up a stat this week that said if they win this week, and as you and I both think they will, it'll be the first time the Jets were 3-0 since 2009. So the green side of New York might start believing.
Wow, that's a long time ago. So we both have the football Jets in this game. We'll move on to Houston. As the Houston Texans are struggling to get their first win, they might get it this week as they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here comes Jameis Winston and the rookie. He's got to face J.J. Watt and Ryan Cushing and the likes of the Houston defense. What do you think?
Well, you said you feared for Sam Bradford and his life. I kind of fear for Jameis Winston in this one because J.J. Watt is just a superhero. He's just amazing. I know you and watched Hard Knocks, and I'm a huge fan of Hard Knocks, and I so want to believe in the Houston Texans. You know, I fell in love with the team watching the series this year, but, man, they just don't have anything on offense, do they? And as much as Bill O'Brien came out and talked up both his quarterbacks and said that, you know, they weren't getting the respect that they deserve, you know, I don't know that, you know, he's giving them the respect they deserve. Can you really be chopping and changing at quarterback like they've been doing?
No, and I think that's a problem. I think, his very first episode, he's like, I'm tired of them writing all the what they're writing about our quarterbacks. Well, it's because you don't have one, and we can write that because, you know what, Coach? You yourself are kind of wishy-washy on which one you want to go with. I think he pulled Hoyer way too early in the season. I think he had to ride Hoyer for at least 3-4 weeks. I think he had to do that. And now that he's pulled Hoyer and brought in Mallett, I think now you got to stick with Mallett. But he's not really prepared to do that. I feel that in this game, if Mallett struggles in the first half, I think we'll see Hoyer in the second half. And that's just
I'm wondering the way that they're making choices with regards to quarterback. Have they got like a twister wheel that they're just kind of spinning and best out of three spins?
That's right. Random wheel of quarterbacks.
You're up, Ryan.
Ryan, you get to start this week, kid. Let's go. I don't know. I think they'll have enough to take care of Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay kind of got up early on the New Orleans Saints thanks to a couple of miscues, and they got some turnovers and they won that football game. I don't think they can go into Houston and get back-to-back wins on the road like that. The team's just too young, so I'll take Houston in this one.
There's a few where it's offense versus defense, and I think that if they can get their offense ticking over and Winston throwing and running for the ball, then maybe, but I think that defense is going to win this one.
All right. Well, both got the Texans. We'll move on to Minnesota as the Minnesota Vikings, fresh off the win with the team that we thought we would see, a lot of Adrian Peterson and a lot of good calculated risks by Teddy Bridgewater, hosting the San Diego Chargers, who lost a heartbreaker on the road against Cincinnati. And the schedule makers didn't do the Chargers any favors, having to go to Cincinnati. Now this week, having to travel across the country again to Minnesota to face the Vikings. What do you see, David?
Well, what a difference a week makes. You talked about it with the Vikings. They were horrible in week one, just terrible. But they were much better last week. And I guess the success or fail of this team seems to be what goes on with Adrian Peterson. So, you know, they gave the ball to him this week. And, you know, despite a couple of fumbles, 134 yards. And that seems to take the pressure off Teddy Bridgewater. So I think in this one, I have to go with Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings as well. Look, if there's one thing I've learned about the San Diego Chargers. They start slow. They got a week one victory over Detroit. Detroit doesn't seem to be that good of a football team this year, and they were at home. Asking them to go on the road, especially in back-to-back weeks against two good football teams, I'm going to take my chances with Minnesota. I think they will be able to run the football effectively against the San Diego Chargers. And you know what? Melvin Gordon, really starting to disappoint. I thought he would have a much better season than he's having right now. So far, he's kind of been outplayed by Danny Woodhead. So I don't know if he's going to be losing any time there. But you know what? Time of possession, right now they're kind of almost neck and neck, the Chargers and the Vikings. I think the Vikings will run the football well against, if you look at the Chargers, They're allowing over 120 yards per game rushing. I think.
And Stephen, I looked up a stat for you with this game that the last time the Chargers travelled to Minnesota was back in 2007. Adrian Peterson, how many yards do you reckon he ran for?
Isn't that the one where he went hog wild and rushed for 290-something?
296 yards and three touchdowns. So we might not get that much this time. But like you said, against the Chargers run defense, I think he could have another good day.
Yeah, 296. Man, if he runs for 296 in this one, I'll be very happy. Okay, we both have Minnesota in that game. We'll move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're actually on the road traveling to St. Louis to face the Rams. The Rams, who are the epitome of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, 1 week will beat Seattle in overtime. And then the next week, we're not going to show up and let the Redskins run all over us. I don't understand it. Here you go, Pittsburgh at St. Louis. What do you got?
Look, Pittsburgh, as long as I've known them, all been famous for their offense. For their defense, but it's their offense this year. So I've got the Steelers, but I think they've got way too much on offense. Antonio Brown, if he isn't the best wideout in the league at the moment, I don't know who is. He was unstoppable last week.
And they get Le'Veon Bell back this week. So for as many points as the Steelers have been scoring, I think they're first in the league in scoring. Here comes Le'Veon Bell now. He's going to spell, I mean, and it's not like, you know, D'Angelo Williams has been a slouch. He's had two very, very good performances running the football. So kudos to D'Angelo Williams to be able to handle the rock while Le'Veon Bell was suspended. Here comes Bell back. You're getting a very, very huge boost to your running game to go along with a passing game that has just been fabulous. And he's been throwing it to everyone, Antonio Brown, Wheaton, Heath Miller. Roethlisberger just doesn't care who he throws the football to. And he's really making Antonio Brown to be a star. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers just because I don't think the Rams will have the offensive power to match up with Pittsburgh. Defensively, they'll be able to hold them for a little bit, but eventually the dam will break, the floodwaters will flow. I like Pittsburgh in this one.
I think if it becomes a shootout, then the Rams are just going to get absolutely murdered because they don't have the offensive options to go with them.
No. Especially, man, can Gurley hurry up and get ready to come and play? I mean, they really, really are looking.
Oh, they need him. They desperately need him. Look, I don't see it being a close game, but I tell you what, if it's close, you wouldn't want Josh Scobie, the Pittsburgh kicker, to be saving your bacon for this game. He's been a bit of a catastrophe so far.
Scobie, that's what I've been calling him. Oh.
I know how you feel about kickers, Stephen, but he's just not been good.
No, I don't know if this is him rebelling against getting traded because, you know, he really liked being in Jacksonville, but now all of a sudden he's a head case almost.
That's a strange way to rebel. It's like, I don't want to be here, so I'm going to miss some kicks and get me out of this league.
Yeah, I'm going to miss field goals now. That's what I'm going to do. All right, we both have Pittsburgh. Moved on to Arizona, back on the west side of the country. The Cardinals, fresh off a very impressive 2-0 start, hosting the San Francisco 49ers, a team that got demolished last week on the road by Pittsburgh. What do you got this week?
I've got the Cardinals. That I think Bruce Arian and the Cardinals aren't getting maybe the press that they deserve at the moment. There's lots of teams, I guess, that are 2-0 early on, but they lit up the Bears last week, and we knew that they had a good defense, but 48 points last week against the Bears. So who would have thought Carson Palmer, after surgery last year, would come back and play the way he's playing? He almost looks in career best form.
Carson Palmer, these past two games, has looked pretty fantastic. I always thought he was a really good quarterback. He almost has 500 yards over two games, seven touchdown passes. That's the big number. He's already thrown seven TDs in two football games. That's pretty impressive. Plus, I'll tell you what, David Johnson, this kid has been pretty phenomenal.
And it was nice to see Larry Fitzgerald getting back into it last week.
Being relevant again, Fitzgerald, three touchdown passes already this season. I'm like loving it. Just loving it. Fitz is back. This kid David Johnson is being pretty impressive. So the Arizona Cardinals are going to be a tough out for just about anyone, and I think they're going to compete for this division, and they start by taking care of business with the San Francisco 49ers. We both have Arizona there. We'll move on to the final, I believe it's the final four. No, the first afternoon game. Afternoon for us, I don't know, like middle of the night for you. I don't know what time the game starts.
No, actually, that time, those ones always work out well if you're not working. But I think that game's usually sort of mid-late morning our time. So
On Monday.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So you got to take. Do you guys got to take Monday off? Is that basically what you do? It's like.
I need Monday off, boss.
I'll work Saturday, but I need Monday off.
Occasionally, I'm able to work from home, so that's a bit of a nice thing to do. But I sprung this year for Game Pass, so I just all my friends know not to talk to me about it, and I'll come home and watch it when I get home from work. So
there you go, a little plug for Game Pass. He's using that. That's good. So this afternoon game, 4:25 Eastern time start, 1:25 over here at my time, my neck of the woods. Miami Dolphins hosting the Buffalo Bills, a divisional matchup, big divisional matchup for Miami, especially for the Dolphins, as the following week they head to London to play another divisional matchup against the Jets. So this is a pretty big game for both teams, the Bills and the Dolphins. Who do you got?
Miami, but not with any conviction. That I think Rex Ryan's got the Bills playing on emotion, but I don't think emotion wins a lot of games. They talk a good talk, like he did when he was with the Jets, but I'm not sure that they back it up with actions at the moment. And that loss last week, they talked a lot of smack about we're going to beat up on the Patriots, but I reckon Rex had to swallow a lot of humble pie with that kind of loss. So, but the Miami haven't been great in the first couple of weeks either. I think Lamar Miller, 10 carries for 14 yards last week. They just couldn't run the ball. So it's almost, this game's harder to pick than a broken nose, I think. So
That's true. Here's a stat that I'll give you, though. Defensively, the Bills are only allowing 60 rush yards per game. Meanwhile, the Dolphins, and this is the Dolphins with Ndamukong Suh, are allowing 142 yards rushing per game. I think
Sue certainly hasn't lived up to his free agent money so far, has he?
Price tag. No, that was a huge price tag. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I know they're on the road, but I think they'll be able to run the ball effectively against this team. I think what happened, I don't know if you watched that Bills-Patriots game last week. The Bills went in there. They opened the game with an 80-yard touchdown drive. Boom. I mean, it was like, wow, that was almost way too easy. They actually hold the Patriots on their first offensive series to a 3-and-out. And it's like, wow, that's too easy. And I think maybe that kind of got into their head a little bit like, hey, maybe we are this good. Maybe this is going to be pretty easy for us. And then they forgot the kind of play, and the Patriots kind of smacked them around in the mouth, and it's like, oh, man. And then before you knew it, it got out of hand, and they tried to make a game of it late, but it was just a little too late. So I think that's kind of what happened there. I think Rex has got to reel them back in now and say, hey, we're not great until we become great. And they're gonna show the Miami Dolphins in this division what they're really made of. I think the Bills take care of business here.
Well, Tyrod Taylor certainly made the Bills a bit more interesting to watch on offense, but I think he had moments of good and moments of terrible against the Patriots. And I guess it depends on which Tyrod Taylor you see.
So who do you got in this one?
I'm going Miami. So that's another one I think we're going to differ on.
There you go. Third game that we differ on. I've got Buffalo. You've got the Dolphins. I am off the Dolphins bandwagon. I've been on that bandwagon for a couple of years. I know where that bandwagon leads you. It leads you to despair and hatred and anger. And that's the dark side. You don't want to go there. So I'm just off it altogether. I'm going to ride the Bills. Hey, I've got the Bills in the Super Bowl. I'm going to have to ride them a little bit this year. I'm going to take them in this one. We'll move on. Next afternoon game, the Seattle Seahawks finally can breathe a sigh of relief. I don't know if you heard this while you were sleeping or not, but Cam Chancellor's back on the defensive side of the ball.
Woohoo!
He's decided to come back. He forgives the Seattle Seahawks, and it's time to put business aside and get back to work. I say Cam Chancellor said, yo, man, I just missed two game checks. I got to get paid. I got to get back to work. And so I think that's why he decided to get back to work, because he saw that Seattle wasn't going to cave anytime soon and said, I got to get paid. And he's going to come back and get paid. So that's why I'm bringing him back. But here comes the Chicago Bears without their starting quarterback, Jay Cutler, who is
Chicago.
The Chicago Bears, Chicago at Seattle. What do you got, David?
Oh, look, I'd love to, if you know, for all the Bears fans out there, give them some optimism. But if I was a Bears fan at the moment, they'd probably put me on suicide watch, because I think there's not a lot to look forward to this season. And I thought it was bad under Jay Cutler, but it's not going to be much better under Jimmy Clausen, I would have thought. Yeah. So I've got the Seattle to make a big mess out of them and maybe put the season start to get it back on track.
All right, I've got the Seattle Seahawks as well. I think they get off the schneid, get their first win of the season. I don't see how Chicago goes into Seattle and has enough to beat the Seahawks. So you and I both like Seattle to get their first win of the season and possibly start to turn their season around.
Go to Seahawks roll.
Seahawks roll. Sunday night football. Sunday in Detroit, Motown, Ford Field. The Detroit Lions hosting Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, and what I believe is Peyton Manning's farewell tour around the National Football League. Who do you got?
I agree with you. I think they need to get him a tour jacket, because I think this could be his last spell. I have got the Denver Broncos, but nothing to do with Peyton Manning. I think that he's looking a shadow of his former self, but I think it's the Broncos defense that is now shining the way, and I think they're possibly one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah. They've just got so many weapons on that defensive side of the ball. And then in the secondary, all of a sudden, Aqib Talib is playing like a superstar. So when you've got that kind of a pass rush and that kind of a front seven, and then you couple it with some playmakers in the secondary, they start to look pretty good. I don't know if Matt
Miller's been pretty dominant.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know if Matt Stafford is going to survive this one. He got pretty beat up last week. I mean, Matt Stafford got banged around. I read an article in the Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King. One of his writers was actually in the locker room after the Detroit Lions lost to Minnesota, and they said that he was just physically beat up. He had bruises and bumps and scrapes and purple spots all over his body, and it's like that's how it's going to be all year long for Matt Stafford. They just don't have a very good offensive line. So, yeah, I got the Denver Broncos as well. I think the defense will be too much for the Lion offense. And the Lion offense, really, quite frankly, isn't all that impressive, even though they have a Megatron and a Golden Tate rookie, Amir
Abdullah. Mm-hmm.
And they looked impressive in the preseason. But like I said, once again, preseason is a whole bunch of vanilla, and now you've got the clusters and the rocky roads with the chunks in it, and it's really messing people up. So we both have Denver there, which brings us to our final game. Monday night football, which is your Tuesday night, right?
Yes. Or Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. Okay. Woof, man. That's crazy. Tuesday morning football. Woo!
It doesn't have that same ring to it.
Bum, bum, bum. The Green Bay Packers.
We've been waiting all night for Tuesday night.
Yes. Well, actually, you're waiting on me. I just woke up for Tuesday morning. Football.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to catch on.
Yeah, I don't know. What if you, like, you wake up and, you know, you wake up because Monday Night Football, ESPN has the pregame show, and you wake up to, come on, man! You gotta start the game this early in the morning? Come on, man!
Look, following the NFL's a breeze, I'm also a huge big English Premier League fan. So
oh, my goodness.
If you want to watch my team's Arsenal, and if you're going to watch them, it's often like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So
you're an watching Arsenal the fan? How did you get on? How do you even get on the show?
I'm a fan. We should not be talking. I know.
How did you even get on the show? Somebody cut the cord. Cut the cable. Cut him off.
All right,
give me your pick for the last game. No, I'm cutting you off. Give me your pick for the last game. Quick, give me your pick.
All right, the Packers.
All right.
He's Packers going to roll.
Yeah, we both got the Packers at home. I think it'll be interesting to see if Kansas City can get to Aaron Rodgers. I think offensively, Rodgers and the Packers just will have too much offense for Kansas City. I like the Packers in this game. Your pick, you've got Atlanta at Dallas. You've got Oakland at Cleveland. And you've got Buffalo at Miami. I've got Buffalo, Oakland, Dallas. You've got Atlanta, Cleveland, and Miami. Please make a challenge game.
Well, I know you want me to make it the Atlanta-Dallas game, but I'm actually going to make it the Raiders-Browns game. I think the Brownies going to take care of business at home.
All right. There he goes. So he's taking Cleveland, and I am taking Oakland. And, man, I tell you what, Raiders, and you Raiders fans out there that listen to the show, if the Raiders do not come through for me in this challenge game, I will never take them again, ever. It's no joke. Ever.
The fans are going to be a factory of sadness if the Browns don't get up.
Factories of sadness. I love that. You know, the Browns fans have been factories of sadness for, like, forever. Really. I mean, I guess you have to go all the way back to the Jim Brown days when they weren't factories of sadness. All right, David, that's it. We differ on three games. You've locked in your challenge game. I wish you luck, but not that much luck. I tell you what, on the 13 games that we agree on, I wish you luck. On the three games that we disagree on, I wish you no luck, my friend.
Steven, thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, bud, and good luck to you with your Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning football.
Thank you very much.
That was David Bryson, folks, all the way from Australia. If you want to put your picks in up against mine, make sure you go to NFLRNR.com/pick'em. Make your picks there, and I will pick folks from that website to come up against me. All right, there you have it. David, if you're listening, sorry about that audio. I'll make sure that I get it back on track next time you're on. Sorry, I apologize to everyone else, but there it is. Episode 11.09 is in the books. Week 3 is upon us. Let's look for the Giants to take care of business on Thursday Night Football. And hopefully when we come back next week, I will still be...
I am the smartest man alive!
You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves, and I'm Steven Miranda. We're out.